Welcome back to the Sanlam ESG Barometer Series. I'm your host, Andile Khumalo, and you are tuning to episode 3, where we are asking the question, who are the real ESG stakeholders? Employees, investors, or customers? Now, this conversation is crucial as businesses are navigating their ESG strategies and seek to understand who their true partners are in this journey. With expectations evolving rapidly, it is more important than ever to identify and prioritize the stakeholders that influence or are influenced by ESG performance. Joining me today is Grant Davids. He's the Executive Head of Investor Relations at Sanlam. Grant has extensive experience in understanding the dynamics between investors, corporate sustainability, and of course, making him an invaluable voice in today's discussions. Thank you for joining us, Grant. Also pleased to join us all the way from Cape Town is Tracy Davies. She's the Executive Director at Just Share NPC, joining us online. She's being a leading advocate for responsible investing and holds critical insights on how investor expectations are shifting towards sustainability. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get straight into it. Let me start with you, sir. Grant here in studio with me. Just from your perspective of investor relations, it's a very broad job, and sometimes it feels more like stakeholder relations, not just only investor relations, I'm sure. But how would you define the role of investors insofar as ESG is concerned? What are some of the key factors that they are considering now when they look at the businesses they're involved in, Sanlam included, and assess whether or not it's the investment they want to be continue to be invested in, associated with, and get the returns that they want?
Andile, thanks very much. I think investors are, the way we view investors, certainly they are allocators of capital. So the direct capital flows into, be it companies or projects or very specific investments. And we know that capital is really what drives economies, what drives growth, and ultimately uplifts societies. I think if one goes back, say, 10, 15 years, capital was quite narrowly focused on financial returns. So financial returns are what mattered, and there wasn't necessarily a broader focus on how those returns were achieved, be it environmental impact, societal impact, or having a governance underpin, which I think is important. I think there's some quite clear examples of where a lack of focus on those elements have had quite a negative impact on financial returns. And I think that's resulted in a much broader view. So capital now, investors now taking a much broader view of returns. So financial returns, yes, that remains important. But what are the broader impacts of financial return?
Right.
What are the environmental impacts? What are the societal impacts? And what's the governance underpinned to that?
And what do you, in your view, has necessitated that? I mean, you know, we were having a conversation in the previous episode about reporting for sustainability. And Milton Siegel from Saica was making the point that this is not a new concept. You know, we may have called it something else. But certainly in the past few decades or so, couple of decades or so, it's certainly become a lot more important. I mean, in the global north, it has a lot to do with climate change and the environment. And I would argue that in the global south, there's probably a lot to do with social impact and inclusivity, etc. But in your view, where has this shift come from?
So I think there's many drivers. I mean, one can look back to the SDGs as being a driver, but I think generally just the development of capital itself and how capital has looked to allocate itself and broader impacts. I think environmental impacts have certainly become important. I think you mentioned the North and South. I think there's certainly much louder voices around environmental impacts. And I think capital itself is beginning to look beyond, as I mentioned, just finance. I think financial returns. I think capital is beginning to say, what are the broader impacts of what we're doing? I think companies themselves, importantly, are also taking a broader, I would say, much more longer term sustainable view on their businesses. So I think there's lots of driving forces from many different angles. And I think there's lots that has come together to result in this change, which in my view is quite positive.
Tracy, let me bring you in here. Before I even get to employees, which is another stakeholder, let me stay with investors. As Just Share, you guys do a lot of work in engaging companies, in being quite active with companies insofar as sustainability and their responsibilities towards that. What is your take? Do you see the investor interest in ESG and sustainability incomes as something that's genuine and is now starting to match with investor with financial returns? Or is it still somewhat lip service where an investor says it because it's the right thing to say, but actually he wants alpha?
Yeah, well, I think the answer to that question is a little bit of both. So certainly we've seen, we are seeing much more meaningful engagement on sustainability issues. I don't think that there are a lot of investors who are simply doing it for lip service. I think they do genuinely understand, as Grant said, that there are risks involved here, that these are issues we have to take seriously from a long-term perspective. But the problem, of course, is that our entire capitalist system is founded on short-term returns. And the issues that we're dealing with when it comes to sustainability are issues that are going to have long-term impacts. And in some instances, that are going to have an impact on short-term returns because we need to shore up ourselves for the future and the future risks when you look at things like climate change and inequality. So there's still a fundamental shift that has to happen in the world of investing around balancing, or not balancing, but reconciling the fact that we are going to have to, at some point, shift this focus on short-term returns, because short-term returns and long-term sustainability are fundamentally incompatible with each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me stay with you, Tracy, as we move from investors to employees. This was a staggering stat, and I'm pretty sure you guys have seen it. It was in all the reporting after the launch of the ESG barometer. And that was when they did a survey, 6% of South African companies consider employees as key stakeholders when setting ESG strategies, and 15% of Kenyan companies consider employees as key stakeholders. Both countries very, very low. Investors were up there, also the other stakeholders, but their employees was very, very low. Tracy, why do you think that is? Do you think this should be any higher? And do you think that's an issue? Does that highlight for us potentially a challenge that companies should be paying attention to?
Yeah, it's a very interesting stat. I wouldn't have guessed that it was so low if you'd asked me to hazard a guess. And I think that it's a problem, because employees are a crucial stakeholder group for companies themselves, obviously. And we know, we can see evidence all around us that it's becoming more and more important to people, particularly young people, that the companies they work for reflect the values that they hold about the world. And we know that young people are increasingly exercised about the challenges that the world faces from a biodiversity point of view, from a climate change point of view, from a social inequality point of view. And study after study on young professionals and people just entering the marketplace demonstrates that they really want to work for companies that they think are trying to make the world a better place. So if companies want to attract the best talent, they have to think carefully about what their employee value proposition is when it comes to these issues. And also they need to think carefully about the risks, because if you don't take this seriously, there really are significant risks associated with this. And we've seen this happening around the world, where disgruntled employees who believe that the company they're working for is involved in greenwashing or is saying one thing and doing something else, they become whistleblowers, they leak information online. You know, there's a huge reputational risk involved there. So I think South African companies really should be starting to engage their employees to understand what their views are on where they think the companies should be going from a sustainability perspective, and using that to inform their strategies.
Absolutely, Tracy. Grant, I mean, your thoughts on the stat. I mean, one, do you expect it? Because I certainly didn't, and Tracy didn't either. But like, what do you think companies could be doing better? I mean, maybe from your own experience at Sanlam, to engage employees and really see them as a stakeholder. You know, large multinationals like yourself have got thousands of employees in various geographies where there's nuances about impact and sustainability that may differ. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, also quite surprised at that stat. And I'll take it back to an earlier point I made about a narrow focus on financial returns. Tracy made the point as well about short term versus long term. When there was that narrow focus on financial returns, it tends to lead to very short term thinking. But I think we're seeing some of the better companies taking a longer term view around getting to know your customer and building longer-term relationships. And I think sustainability is about doing things for the longer term. Once we do that, I think the benefit that emerges is that you're able to build relationships and keep your customers happy and keep them with you for the longer term. That has a benefit for both. I mean, it is a, you know, you're able to lower the cost of your products by providing costs that are lower entry points that you can offer more broadly. And why I think that is important, and I'll come back to the employee point and I'll link that, is that I think there's a virtuous circle here, and I'll use the term shared value. I think shared value creation is a term that's used. If we're able to get our thinking aligned with shared value, creating value for everybody, that's thinking that feeds through to your employees. Your employees ultimately service your customers. Your employees ultimately build your business.
Yes.
So if you can get a shared value thinking into the business, that leads to sustainability, very long-term thinking and investment. And then you get alignment along all of that, alignment between the company, between its employees. But
you would think companies know that though, Grant, right? It's a fair point to make, because there's an absolute causal link to your point between, you know, how employees are treated or feel or contribute to sustainability in the company they work for. There's a clear impact on customers, because oftentimes these are the people that deal with the customers. And then, of course, there's a clear link to investors, because these are the people that create the value. You would have thought, one would have thought that, you know, employees and engaging them and consulting with them in building these strategies would have been central to companies, but it seems as if it's not quite the case. And I think that's a very interesting thing.
Agreed. Not the case. And again, it comes back to the thinking. When we are chasing short-term goals, short-term returns, that it leads to that kind of thinking. So we almost get to tend to view employees as commodities, and sometimes even customers that way. So I think it's really a shift in thinking to longer term sustainability and how we get thinking of the value of our employees and the value that they add to customers and to the companies.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the starting point.
All right. We've spoken investors. We've spoken employees. Clearly lots of work to do on the employee side. Tracy, from your role at Just Share, you obviously advocate for much more transparent and inclusive conversations about sustainability and ESG as a whole. I want to talk about the role of customers in playing a driving role in getting companies to be more sustainable, to care more about society, to care more about the environment. We're seeing a lot more and more consumers voting with their wallets, demanding sustainable products, all the way from clothing to food to all sorts of things. Well, what's been your observation of South African companies, or maybe just broader on the continent? Because you often see it in the US a lot. You see it a lot in Europe. It seems to be quite a thing that's top of mind for a lot of those businesses in those markets. I'm not sure if that's the case in closer to home. What are your thoughts?
No, I'd agree with you. I think, of course, customers are key in driving sustainability behavior, but I think we're only at the start of that potential in South Africa. I think there's generally fairly poor awareness of corporate impacts amongst consumers in South Africa. I don't know if that's because we have far too much to think about when it comes to politics, or you know, what the distraction is. But you know, we definitely don't have a big focus on corporate impacts, and it's also very linked to disclosure, because there's a lot of greenwashing that goes on in our business sphere in South Africa, and big business is good at marketing itself as being sustainable, while not necessarily doing what it claims to be doing. That's where a lot of our advocacy and activism comes in. But as people become more and more aware of the sustainability crises that we face, what we need to do to address those crises, I think that they will start looking more closely at the products that they buy, at where they are sourced, at the impacts that they have. And this also, you know, it extends to the honesty of corporate communications, particularly in advertising. And, you know, we see recently the South African advertising regulator for the first time has held that a company's advertising is misleading consumers around sustainability issues. That's in relation to Total Energy's advertising, that it is a sustainable company without mentioning the fact that it's one of the world's biggest fossil fuel companies. You know, so I think we're starting to see regulation, activism, awareness building. But certainly we've got a long way to go to get to that level of consumer awareness. I think where I've seen it most play out most specifically in South Africa is in relation to banks and financing of fossil fuels, and people wanting to bank with institutions that are not associated with projects that are clearly damaging the environment.
Right. But on sustainability in general, Tracy and Grant, what are both of your thoughts around this concept? Because the barometer is very much focused on additionality. This whole concept of, you know, what does one extra rand or extra dollar do to an outcome that, you know, that we might see in future, as opposed to historical. I mean, maybe let me start with you, Tracy. A lot of what I see in the media that gets covered about the work Just Share does is about highlighting what companies aren't doing or should be doing when it comes to sustainability. But some of these businesses just come from a history of being high emissions or CO2, okay? Like, it is what it is. If I'm a coal mining company, I'm a coal mining company. But surely what should matter is, what can I do going forward to be more responsible? Is that a fair way to judge them, or do we must we always kind of reference to kind of their history? Because I'm not sure if it serves us to talk about where they come from.
Well, our advocacy is, particularly if you want to talk about coal mining companies, is not about what they used to do or even what they do now. It's about what they plan to do in future. And so the crux of advocacy and activism when it comes to fossil fuel companies, no one's suggesting they stop doing what they're doing tomorrow. And we all know that we still need them for the medium-term future, but they need to have a plan. How are they going to move away from the activity that they do that is, let's be frank, causing enormous amounts of harm? And so that's where we're focused. We're focused on ensuring that the plan is credible and real, and it's not just something that is being said to pacify people, and that it has the potential, if it's implemented, to have the sustainability impacts that the company claims it will have. So it's about honesty, but not just, you know, making everything come true in a magical fairy world. Obviously, you've got to be realistic about what's possible and the timeframes within which it is possible. But companies have to have a plan. They have to be able to demonstrate that they're thinking about these issues, that they understand that they need to change, and that they have a credible strategy for getting there.
Grant, the Sanlam approach on that?
Yeah, I think it's always important to look back and see the impact of your products. You know, Sanlam, an insurance business, a savings business, selling a lot of products to customers. And I think if we look back, we'll probably see a positive impact that we've had. But I think there's certainly lessons to take and apply going forward.
Right.
Have we been too narrowly focused on pushing products onto our clients?
Right.
And is that something that we could address? Could we look at the broader social impact of our products?
Right.
Could we look at the advice we offer to our clients? I think companies have a role to play in making customers more aware of sustainability, long-term thinking. So I think companies certainly can look back, and there are lessons to be taken from that and applied going forward in terms of how we can get broader thinking around sustainability through not only the business, but our customers as well.
Thank you so much, Grant. And thank you so much, Tracy, also for making the time for us. That brings us to the end of this episode. Really valuable insights on the evolving landscape of ESG stakeholders and some lessons to be learned, I guess, you know, with investors leading the charge, customers are second in line, and rock bottom are employees. We clearly have some work to do. It'll be very interesting to see what 2025 brings us. That brings us to the end. Thank you so much for joining us. Please join us again for episode 4. There we will be exploring the theme, ESG investing, is it still a thing? Until next time.